afternoon, Truth Wins team. This is kind of an interesting thing. Who's asking? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Who is asking? Well, we're not.
Or sure. Some people aren't asking is the problem.
Who's asking?
Let's see. I don't know who to ask.
Well, before we find out who's asking or who's not asking or who should be asking, we'll start off with prayer.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, we thank you, Father, that you are our Creator. We thank you, Father, that you bring us into the realm of truth, and that truth shall set us free. We thank you, Father, that for this production today, that we will receive revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this production, will give the body of Christ, make us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Thank you, Father. And we all said, Amen.
Amen. Well, I actually kind of planned this lesson while I was studying to get ready for it, and I had it all ready. And then this morning, early, like at 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I kept having this verse come through my mind, and I thought, well, how does it all fit? So we'll let you see the verse that popped in my mind, and then we'll kind of go and discuss it and go on with our lesson.
It says in Isaiah 6:3, the angels were calling to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And holy means exalted and worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. And also, Lord God Almighty means El Shaddai in Hebrew.
Right, and so what it is that we had a small group Bible study and we were sitting talking, and someone said, well, it's true, God knows the beginning from the end. So I said, yeah, I've always kind of thought about, like, why did God make people? If he knows in the end, he does know the end, where they'll end up, if they'll end up in heaven or hell. And as I thought about it, then I had this thing, and it's like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's righteous and he does it perfectly. So we can go back to the, let's see this, and it says he does it in goodness. So that was what I wanted to show you, is the goodness. When we go to Genesis, he created Adam and he said, and he was good. And good means God didn't create him to do anything wrong. He created him good. The same with Satan. Satan was created good. But what he gave us is free will. And our free will allows us to do as we want. And you might go, well, why would he do that? Well, if you think of it as a parent, your children really wouldn't be happy if you controlled everything they did. Really, one of the gifts of God is we have choice. We have free will. We can choose to turn the right way or to turn the wrong way. And so I think it's hard to understand, but God gave us the choice. And then he also gives us the way out because Jesus died for us. So he really planned it all perfectly that we would end up in heaven, but we have our part to play. Satan's playing his part, and we're going to go on and show you a little bit of why maybe people are going, well, about asking and what they're asking God for. So let's see what our first verse has to say. Well, it's really our first teaching spot.
Right, yeah. The first teaching is from John Wesley. He said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. And then he said, you might be thinking just like me, why is this so? And we begin to examine the Bible to find out why. If God wants to do something for humanity, he cannot unless someone asks him. For we found the answer through studying the Word, or God's Word.
Right, so that's really the important thing for all of us to do. When we have a question, asking people could be helpful. Community is not bad if someone has the correct answer, but the Bible always has the correct answer. So when in doubt.
And with the Holy Spirit directing us.
Right. You can go to the Bible and get your correct answer. So we're going to go back and start with things because we were, like we said, God did everything in goodness and righteousness. So let's see what he did at the beginning.
In Genesis, you know, Adam, I give you dominion over all the work of my hands. That's in Genesis 1, 26, 27, and Psalms 8, 6. But Satan came and lied to Adam. And Adam, meaning Adam and Eve, or really Adam and Adam. And Adam committed high treason and sold out to Satan. Then Satan became the god of this world, this physical realm. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the god of this world. As such, he has dominion.
Right, so he has dominion. And how are we going to supersede his dominion? Well, we have Jesus who came and died and took back the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus gave us his name to use.
So we have the power of Adam before the fall. He has given it back to us and we need to operate it. The only way we can really know how to operate it is to replicate what Jesus said and by the Holy Spirit's prompting giving us the right answers to so that we speak them into existence in the physical realm.
Right, because as we know from science, words are spoken and they never lose energy. So they're there. So if we've spoken incorrect words, we need to speak spiritual words that can supersede them.
Supersede them or shut them down, right. Make them of no value.
So let's see what we're taught to do.
It says, God cannot legally and justly move in and take away that dominion from the devil. The devil has dominion here on earth. He has a legal right because he has Adam's lease, and God cannot do anything unless somebody down here asks him, God, the Father.
Right. So what we need to be sure is what we're asking is what we're supposed to be asking. But we would say, well, God knows what we have need of because the Bible says that. He does know what we have need of. Probably better than we do, because sometimes we don't even know what we need, but he does. But it says, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. It doesn't just say, God already knows it and he's going to do it no matter what. So if you're frustrated, then probably you need to be asking. But let's see what else the Bible has to say.
It says in Matthew 7:7, ask God for what you need. Continue to ask and God will give to you. Continue to search and you will find. Continue to knock and the door will open for you.
Right, so that's one of the things to know. We have to do it, but there's probably a little bit more. But also once you ask, I did like the healing that Oral Roberts taught about years ago where a man was already an adult and he was very short. He hadn't grown properly.
Yeah, his body hadn't grown more than probably about an 8-year-old boy. He was the size of a boy. He was
more
miniature.
Right.
And Old Roberts prayed for him, laid hands on him. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Keep going.
And basically they continued. Well, he went home. He believed it. He believed that he asked for it. Oral Roberts and him agreed in faith, knowing the word of God will manifest. And then he continued to listen to Oral Roberts' tapes, and they continued to read the Bible and continued to
praise God
and continued to indulge in the word of God daily, many times, daily, every day. Don't let the word of God depart from your eyes. He continued. And what happened was it took about 5-6 years.
No, it was three years.
It was 3 years. His body started to grow normally, like inch by inch. And he continued to grow 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, or probably 4 feet. He grew from a child of 8 years old to a 25-year-old man.
Right. And he probably was like, say, 5'8".
He became a normal man after the Word of God permeated his physical being.
But I want to make this clear, which is the point Oral Roberts was saying. The miracle happened when he laid hands on him. It was done. He kept thanking God. He wasn't.
He didn't go, oh, it didn't happen. I'm sorry.
No, but not. That's not. But you were saying he kept going to God, but he was thanking God. He wasn't asking again.
He wasn't asking again. He already received it. Yeah. When Oral Roberts said amen and he said amen, it was done. In the spiritual realm, it was already manifest. But it had to take, in the physical, it takes time sometimes. Or the second miracle Jesus did, the man came to Jesus one and he said, my son is dying. And he talked about, you know, signs and wonders. You won't get anything unless you guys, he's talking to the crowd. He's not just talking to the man that wanted his son healed. And Jesus said that to them as a crowd. You can't do it. You can't believe unless you receive signs and wonders. But then Jesus prefaced that by saying, go home. Your son is healed.
As you believe.
And the man, the father, basically said to himself, well, Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. So he went. It took him a day and a half to get home. And then when he got home, the boy was fine.
He started to amend.
He asked, when did it start? And he gave him the hour that Jesus said it.
Right, and that's when
the day and a half before, Jesus said.
Right, and that's when the fever broke.
When the fever broke, right.
But the point we're trying to say is healing, and they called it a miracle. Healing right. can be gradual, but don't let go of it.
Don't say, well, it didn't happen as a momentary thing. 2 seconds,
instant
you
miracle.
Were totally redeemed or healed right there. And sometimes it happens that way. But sometimes it happens when it takes time in the physical.
Right, because probably for the man that was growing, it was simpler to have nature let it happen the way it would for you to grow.
Right.
As a miracle where you went from, say, 4 feet to 5'8", that would be kind of a lot, although God could do it if he wants to. So we're going, be sure to ask. When you ask, know that it's done. Let's see what else it says.
It says in James 4:2-3, you want things, but you don't get them. So you kill and are jealous of others, but you still cannot get what you want. So you argue and fight. You don't get what you want because you don't ask God. Or when you ask, you don't receive anything because the reason you ask is wrong. You only want to use it for your own pleasure.
Right. So when we ask...
Well, you should ask properly.
Well, it would be like, say you could ask, Lord, I want you to heal me so I can go play tennis. Or, Lord, I want you to heal me so I can go...
preach the gospel.
Or I can go help in the children's ministry.
Right. Or do the will of God.
But it's not like God cares if you play tennis. But
right.
your motives
it's not
have
against
to be
that.
God and God's righteousness.
But your primary motive is to increase... benefit the kingdom of God.
Right. So we want to be sure that's what we're asking. We're asking
and
the right
And we joy
way.
The Lord is our strength. We continue to, you know, Jesus said when he walked up to him, they thought he was walking on the water, and he said, be of good cheer. Don't be fearful, but be joyful in the day. And so basically they didn't receive that. they were going, oh, or they were going to stay in the fleshy instead of getting and staying in the unbelief. And they did receive Jesus into the boat. And then momentarily later, they were at the destination. They translated. So basically, he's saying, stay in the spiritual realm of joy. Joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. I say that all the time.
So we'll go on to our next scripture.
It says in 1 John 5:14-15, we can come to God with no doubts. This means that when we ask God for things, and those things agree with what God wants for us, God cares about what we say. He listens to us every time we ask him, so we know that he gives us whatever we ask from him. And we have to ask properly by the word of God. We speak the word of God. He says yes and amen. If we don't, if we speak something that's not of the word of God, he doesn't say yes and amen. In fact, Jesus doesn't even present it to him if it's not the word of God, because Jesus is the word and he only speaks the word of God to the Father, and the Father says yes and amen. So we got to make sure that we speak the word of God. Prophets are the word of God. We speak the word of God into existence, and it makes and it manifests itself in physical realm.
Well, and I like the idea that when we do it where God wants, like sometimes we don't know, but if we go there, wherever the part is, there's where God wants us, then he'll take care of all the rest. That's the nice part.
Yeah, that's a part of your faith.
We might be here, but then we ask God to direct our paths. And when we get there, where there is where he wants us, because he knows what's best for us.
And we recognize the unbelief, the fleshy things, the five senses saying, oh, no, you can't have this. And the so-and-so said this and all that. And you're going, well, what did God say? God said it. I believe it, that settles it. And we don't let the fleshy, the unbelief, make a manifestation, because we have faith in the word of God. As a grain of mustard seed, he said, you don't take any faith hardly at all, but the unbelief needs to be put down.
Okay, let's go to our next scripture.
It says in Matthew 6:33. I love this scripture. Then set your heart on the God movement and its kind of life, and all these things will come as a matter of course.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and that
really was the Jordan translation.
Well, and that really goes up to with our beginning thing. God does everything in goodness and righteousness. So he's good. He's absolutely good, and it'll be good if he's doing it.
And I always like the scriptures that are lined up sort of like that. Matthew is 6 and 3 and 3. 3 and 3, 6. So it makes me easy to remember that. Matthew 6:33. And also in King James it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Right. So we now have like who's asking? You're asking. And you're asking the right thing.
According to the word of God.
And according to goodness and righteousness, like God does, because you're in his image. And then we'll go on to the next verse we're going to read.
Jeremiah 6. Oh, no. I see. 33:3. Pray to me and I will answer you. I will tell you important secrets. Wow. And you have never heard these things before. That is revelation.
Right. So that's the highest point of asking. Like if you really pray and you have your heart right and your soul is at peace and you ask, he'll tell you things you've never heard before and
yeah.
Things that are going to happen. And
yeah, you that's how you become a king in the physical, because you are overwhelming to anything that comes against God.
Right, because he'll tell you, don't drive down that street, drive this way to work, and so you miss an accident. He'll tell you,
well, that's happened to us recently.
Right, but he'll do all kinds of things. He'll tell you, maybe go shopping today and everything's on sale where you're shopping.
Right, he makes us prosperous in everything we put our hands to, because we are doers of the words of the Lord. That's in James.
Right, so I think that's the nice thing here is, like it says, the Holy Spirit will teach us things that are in the Kairos, kind of.
The Kairos. We live in the Kairos with God.
Right.
Because God lives in the Kairos.
Right, that's our quantum physics.
We're not Kairos. Physical time in a straight line is chronos, but the Greeks came up with this word that was really cool. It's the kairos, meaning the god kind, the god time.
Right. So when we pray and we seek the Holy Spirit, and he tells us, like, who's asking, he tells us what to ask for, because he sees the future and tells us things. And so then we know, should I stay at this job? Is this the job for me? Will I be promoted here? Will it happen down the road at LaSalle? Or should I go find a new job? There's a different spot God wants you. So he will direct you.
When you're living in the faith of the truth, the Word of God, you are experiencing Kairos all the time. You are experiencing, because God changes it for you. It's like when Jesus jumped in the boat after they said, get in the boat. And they were at the destination, and everything was cool. That was a Kairos example.
Right. So anyway, we're saying, what are you going to do this week? Who's going to ask? We all are. All of us are asking.
We're asking
for that our joy may be full.
Right. That our joy may be full.
We have peace and goodness. So we say, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's coming.
Yes.
I think before we...
St. Patrick's Day was a man of God. He called those things that be not as though they were. He said, there's no snakes in Ireland. And they aren't there today. There's no snakes. He prophesied. His word never stopped.
Right. So we're telling you, we did this last night. We had a odd St. Patrick's Day. We had green chili and cheese frittata because of the green.
Right.
We had a green salad.
And oranges.
And oranges and Cheetos.
And Cheetos.
So we did the Protestant and
we had a white bowl.
Right.
Jesus is our bowl.
Right. So we kind of had kind of an unusual, colorful St. Patrick's Day feast with our small group. And so we hope you'll have a happy St. Patrick's Day. You can do it the traditional way, the Irish do. They have Irish stew and soda bread. You can do it the American way, where you have corned beef and cabbage. You can do it our small group way, or you could have split pea soup
and carrots.
And carrots.
And a white bowl.
And a white bowl. So we say, then do like St. Patrick, ask and receive.
Ask and receive that your joy may be full.
So we say happy St. Patrick's Day. Truth wins.
Truth wins.
We say like.
Truth wins.
Like and subscribe. Tell your friends about it so more people learn that what the Bible said is truth. We know that. If we don't know anything else, we know God got the Holy Spirit to encourage men to write the Bible. And it's what he wants you to learn. And according to 1 Timothy 3:17, it's there to study. So not everything's exactly truth in it, but when you get two or three more scriptures together, you can figure out what God's wanting you to say. You have your concordances, you have your strong concordance to understand if the word means he did it or he allowed
what
it.
What the Greek meant.
Right. So
what the Hebrew meant.
Right. So we know you'll be studying. If you have any topics you'd like us to talk on or teach on, feel free to email us at prayer@truthwins.com. And we pray for you that have the best week of your life.
Yeah,
in Jesus' name.
And cancer has no power. We joy the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of our life. We continue to focus on the Word of God, and cancer has no power in the physical because the truth sets us free.
Right, because Jesus' stripes are healing.
Right,
contract.
It overwhelms the lie of the devil. Anything other than good, pure, perfect, lovely, good report, we think on those things.
Anyway, we'll be preaching
we'll
another
keep preaching
lesson
here.
Before we do, so we'll let you go.
We love you.
Love you and have a great week. Whoops, I gotta find the